The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What different ways are there of knowing God? Are there different types of knowing? Like experiential knowing? Or maybe positional knowing? Our question today based on 1 John chapter 2. Stay with us, we will talk about it. This is Grace in Focus, and we are glad that you're with us today, friend. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. The Grace Evangelical Society exists to promote a focused free grace position. You can know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. We encourage you to find our daily blogs and subscribe to them so that they will show up daily in your mailbox. And also we have an online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree, and it's free if you maintain a 3.0 average. Spring semester right around the corner. Keep your eyes and ears open. And find it all at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we have a question from John here, and he's asking about 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 11. I'll go ahead and read verse 3 here.
All right.
Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And John here is asking, I guess you had written an article that a believer knows Jesus Christ in his experience to the degree that he obeys him. And I guess John's having some confusion. What does that really mean? And whether also maybe is knowing God always a matter of experience, or is that a positional?
This is a very good question, and this comes up a fair amount. You know, when you think about knowing God, it's interesting, in 1 John chapter 1, he doesn't talk about knowing God. He talks about being in fellowship with God. 1 John 1, 3 and 4 indicate that the purpose of the letter is about fellowship with God. And he basically says that we have fellowship with God if we walk in the light and if we confess our sins. A brand new believer can be in fellowship with God. In fact, the brand new believer, based on my understanding of Acts 10:43, whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. Everybody starts the Christian life in fellowship with God. The moment we believe in Christ for our eternal destiny, for everlasting life, we are forgiven of all past sins, and we are in fellowship with God at that moment. And we continue to be in fellowship as long as we continue to walk in the light and confess our sins, which I take walking in the light means we're in a solid Bible-teaching church and we're hearing the Word of God taught and we welcome it. It's influencing our thinking, and that in turn is transforming our lives, Romans 12:2. But you can do that and be a brand new Christian, and you don't know much about the commandments of God, right? If you're a new believer, you don't know what you're not supposed to do, and you don't know what you're to do. Aren't there a lot of young people today who don't think there's anything wrong with sex outside of marriage?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, how would they, if they just basing their values on what they see on TV and society in general, they wouldn't know that. You need the Bible to tell us what is right and wrong.
The same thing would be true with an awful lot of things that people don't know. So when you come to 1 John 2, 3 through 11, by this we know him if we keep his commandments. This is more than being in fellowship with God. This is now knowing God in my experience. If you read Zane Hodges' commentary on 1 John, and by the way, we have a free ebook. If you go to faithalone.org and look under resources and look under free ebooks, we have a shortened version of his commentary on 1 John that you can download for free. And so I suggest you get that. And if you like it, you can get the entire longer commentary, because we have a standalone commentary that's, I don't know, 200 pages or whatever. That's, I think, if I remember right, 60 pages. So you get like maybe a fourth or a third of the commentary. But in any case, he points out that 1 John 2:3 is more than being in fellowship with God. This is now knowing God, and it takes some time because you need to know what his commandments are. And basically, 1 John 2:3 is a lot like 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, where Paul talks about the pneumatikoi, the spiritual believer. And he says the spiritual believer has the mind of Christ. So it takes a while to become the person who thinks the way God wants him to think and a person who is aware of God's commandments. Most people think that Paul's saying that takes a year or two, because in chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says, still you are carnal and fleshly in 1 Corinthians 3:3. And this is about 4 or 5 years after they came to faith in Christ. And the first word in the Greek text is still. In other words, it shouldn't be that way. After 4 or 5 years, you should be the pneumatikoi. You should not be one of the carnal baby Christians still.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
So, yes, 1 John 2:3 is talking about one's experience. The other verses, I believe John mentions other verses in John or 1 John that deal with this issue of knowing God. I'm not sure if there are any that talk about knowing God in our position. One possible one would be Galatians 4:9. That verse is where Paul talks about knowing God, or rather being known by him. But even that verse could be about experience. What does it say?
But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?
Yeah, so that could refer to some sort of positional knowledge of God and being positionally known by God, but I think it more likely refers to experiential, that they had grown in their faith and they had come to know God in their experience, but now they're turning back to legalism, which is not going to produce the knowledge of God.
So he's speaking about the experience here. That's why he's contrasting it to turning it to be in bondage again in their experience. He's not talking about their position.
I don't think he is. And probably the verse that most people use to say that all believers know God is John 17:3. But I don't think John 17:3 is saying that at all.
Yeah, let me go ahead and read that. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
The way that's normally understood is it says, and this is eternal life, that they know you. But it doesn't say that they know you. It says that they may know you. It's a subjunctive mood, meaning this is a possibility. I don't think it's talking about some sort of positional knowledge here. I think this is talking about the same thing you see in 1 John 2:3. That having eternal life makes it possible to know God in my experience.
And who's the audience that's hearing these words?
He's talking here to the 11. Judas has already gone out to betray Jesus, so he's talking to all born-again men. I think it would be worth studying this subject out. Do a concordance study of knowing God. Look up every use of knowing God. See what conclusion you come to. Are there any examples of where knowing God refers to our position? Off the top of my head, I can't remember any. It's pretty clear to me that most of them, if not all of them, refer to our experience. For example, in John 14, he says to Philip, "Have I been with you so long and yet you don't know me?" Well, he's talking about experiential knowledge, because Philip was like, "Show us the Father and that'll be enough." And he's like, "Wait a minute, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have you been with me so long and you don't know me?" So it seems to me that this is a very, very important topic, but we need to recognize that knowing God is an advance on just basic fellowship with God.
Are those both experiential, both fellowship and knowing God?
Yeah, but the point is, it's possible to be a carnal believer who's in fellowship with God your whole life. Mm-hmm. In other words, a lot of people like John MacArthur and Lordship Salvation people, they think carnal believer means rebellion against God person, and they reject there's even such a category of believer. Well, if you read 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, that's not what carnal believer means. It means babe in Christ. It means someone who's living like a mere man, like natural men, but it doesn't mean they're in rebellion against God. So it's possible that a person could go through their Christian life and never advance beyond spiritual infancy, but yet not be in rebellion, coming to church every week, partaking of communion or the Lord's Supper, desiring to please God, but never having come to know him in their experience. And so I would say it's at least hypothetically possible. That would be a sad situation. Have you heard of the 80-20 rule, Mike, about...
Yeah, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's the way I
use it here. In any church, right?
Yeah.
And I would say that probably means that 80% of the people may well be baby Christians. It's only the 20% who know God in their experience. Now, I don't know, 80-20, that's just kind of some numbers. But I think it's pretty clear that not everybody who's born again is walking in such a way that they know God in their experience. Obviously, not all who are born again even are in fellowship with God. But if knowing God is more than being in fellowship, which I think it is, then not every born-again person knows him in their experience.
How would I know that I know that I'm knowing God? Where do I cross that line from just fellowship to now knowing him?
Yeah, I think the answer would be, he says, because I keep his commandments, and he goes on to lay out some of those principles. But one of the things I would say is it's impossible for the person who believes in lordship salvation or work salvation to know that they know God because they don't have assurance of their salvation based on faith in Christ. The only way that 1 John 2:3 makes sense is because the readers already know they have everlasting life. And because they know that, then they can know that they are walking in fellowship with God. 1 John 1:5 through 10. Or they can know that they know him in their experience, 1 John 2:3 to 11. I think that John quoted me as saying the degree to which we keep the commandments is the degree to which we know God.
Right.
I'm not sure we can say that. It may be that John is speaking here, the Apostle John, of all or nothing. By this we know him if we keep his commandments. But I think it's probably reasonable to say that there's a threshold we reach when we become spiritually minded. But once we get there, we haven't arrived. We can now grow in our knowledge of God. So I think I'm probably right in saying that, but you need to think about it and meditate on it and say, is it possible to grow in your knowledge of God?
Yeah. Knowing God means knowing his commandments, but to begin that, you need to know how you have everlasting life. And if you don't know that, you're not going to understand the rest of his commandments at all.
Exactly. You can't know you are a spiritually minded believer unless you know you're a believer.
Very good. And we hope that this helps you
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, Hebrews 10 talks about a punishment worse than death. What could that be? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.